Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time to talk about open banking.
Yeah, you know, transforming the way that banks, customers, and of course third parties interact has been somewhat of an ongoing project for banks and fintechs over the past few years.
And this has been accelerated by the emergence of open banking regulation. This has been introduced by financial bodies and governments all over the world.
Yeah, so to explain that, right here in Singapore, you've got the Monetary Authority of Singapore, or MAS. They have been spearheading efforts to make open APIs, or application programming interface. They want to make this available.
That's right. They're also facilitating data portability in the interim, as open banking may enable consumers to aggregate their banking, insurance, and investment information across banks and financial institutions on a single platform. So essentially what this means is you might be doing your banking on an app, but then you might get a trigger to, say, buy insurance, and that might be from a third party. So that's right. How it works in practice.
Okay. Well, what's interesting here is that while you see Singapore leading this drive for open banking in the region, right? The larger ones like Japan are slowing down.
That's very interesting. So the question is, what is the current state of open banking here in Singapore, and how is open banking here different from other countries out there?
Well, let's find out from Zi-Ying Barry, senior analyst at Forrester. Barry, good morning. How are you?
Hi there. Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, Zi-Ying. Let's, of course, start off a little bit with open banking and how it is shifting that paradigm of financial services sector, right? So you see increased connectivity, increased competition, increased transparency in the way customers access financial data and services. But, I mean, for those of us that are still trying to wrap our heads around this, maybe you could contextualize open banking a little bit more for us?
Sure. I think just to give a bit of context, you know, at the heart of it all, it is to ensure that there is more competition in the financial services sector and that, you know, consumers have greater control over their data. So what that means for, you know, say the everyday Singaporean consumer is that we don't have any visibility across our different accounts. It's very difficult to get that visibility across accounts, across different types of products that we have. So what's going to happen is with this transparency in data and the ability to share our data with either banks or third parties is that they might come to you, Elliot, and say, you know, look, we know that you have a mortgage with this bank. If you actually switch that product to us, you can actually pay off your mortgage 10 years earlier and you're saving, say, you know, $100,000 on average. And they can make those types of comparisons for you and at the same time making it easy for you to switch.
Well,
so those are the types of experiences that we will be looking at.
Yeah, well, I can see how those sorts of experiences would be great for consumers. Facilitated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, we talk about how Singapore is adopting an organic approach to open banking. But what do we really mean when we refer to it as an organic approach?
Yeah, so it's very different from countries, say, like the UK or Australia, where it's compulsory or it's mandated. What that means is that the banks have to comply. But then in Singapore, you know, it is an organic approach where the MAS is really guiding the banks and putting out guidelines for them to follow and to set up that kind of standard.
Okay, should we mistake guidelines for somewhat a cautious approach? Or is there a rationale behind this organic approach?
So I think it's really about, you know, the MAS wanting to, instead of enforcing very hard guidelines and rules, it's really about making sure that, you know, banks are able to get on the open banking track or journey at a pace that they want to, and also to provide a type of assistance or guidance for them.
I guess that's the point, right? So if you're a Singaporean bank, you only want to embrace open banking if it's going to be of advantage to the business, right? And you want it to be of an advantage to consumers as well. How does it compare right now? Are there many banks moving towards it? And if there are some that don't, then why aren't they?
Yeah, so I think current banks have been quite open to open banking, primarily because, you know, if they know that their competitors are moving onto that open banking journey, and if they don't, then they will be left behind. So, you know, banks like DBS Bank, OCBC, UOB, Standard Chartered Bank, and Citi, they have built their own developer portals. You know, you spoke a bit about the APIs. So they have published their own open APIs where, as a third party, you could experiment and build new services or solutions as part of that. And DBS is one of the banks in the world that has published, you know, over 200 APIs and enabled different payment and loan capabilities for third parties like Grab, Property Guru, and McDonald's. Mm. So they have, you know, really embraced that.
Yeah. Right. So I was very curious about that. So earlier I gave this example of, you know, you could be using your banking app, for example, and suddenly get a trigger or a push notification about buying insurance. Is that accurate? Is that the kind of thing we experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's probably, you know, I think the approach is a little bit less direct as that, because obviously as a consumer, you wouldn't want to be pushed products all the time. So we're seeing, you know, banks really playing that, either going direct to consumer or they might be working behind the scenes. So, for instance, you know, with DBS, they have their payments API where if you are a McDonald's or, you know, any other F&B or retailer, you might want to use the PayLah capability. You can then offer that on your own platform so it's easy for people to pay. So I think there are different ways to do it where, you know, these banks are looking at their own capabilities and using that as a service for other companies to use.
We're talking about the state of open banking in Singapore with Zi-Ying Barry, senior analyst at Forrester. Zi-Ying, just to follow up on Manish's question, what does that all mean for the incoming digital bank licenses? I mean, I start to think mm-hmm. that maybe digital strategies might come into play here because of this push for innovation, this push for competition. So with the digital bank licenses coming in, what does that mean with regard to the state of open banking?
So I think it's going to be very exciting. A lot of these contenders for the digital banking license, you know, they are made out of partnerships across different companies. And these companies are very much digitally native, and they are, you know, built on the cloud. They are very used to using APIs and building ecosystems from that point of view. So we see that what they will start to do is they will start to leverage each other's competitive advantages, where some of them already have a large customer base. They have a lot of data about their customers. So what they will do is really to accelerate the provision of contextualized experiences to deliver financial services at their moments of need and really identifying what those moments are.
I wonder, actually, Zi-Ying, whether you think that will be a push to innovation for some of the big mm-hmm. incumbent banks or whether it will be pressure.
Yeah, I do think that there will be quite a bit of pressure on the incumbent banks to innovate even more and, you know, to be able to come up with new value proposition for consumers. So that would really accelerate the push for innovation.
And speaking of consumers, is this good for us? Hmm. I mean, I'm wondering, I hear what you're saying, and mm-hmm. I wonder, is it more confusing for consumers? Is it better for consumers? Does it bring prices down for consumers?
Yeah. So I think, you know, from a consumer point of view, the open banking concept is still not, you know, there's still some level of awareness that needs to happen. But at the same time, it's also about, you know, us having a bit more visibility into our finances. And the hope is that we will be able to improve our financial well-being in the process. But there are still some underlying concerns of, you know, in terms of how we feel giving consent to different parties to access our data. So the consent piece has to be addressed, and consumers must feel reassured that, you know, that their data is in safe hands, and these parties that they're going to share their data with will really provide the security and making sure that this data is secure.
Seeing we've talked about how, you know, in other countries like the UK and Australia, where it's mandatory, and here in Singapore, you've got the more organic approach to open banking. So I guess ultimately, to wrap things up, the question would be, how then do you gauge the success of an open banking strategy, you know, here in Singapore, bearing in mind everything that you've shared?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say that the way we will look at it is really how well these companies or banks or financial services firms actually collaborate with different third parties to come up with new value proposition, new innovation, new products and services for the benefit of their consumers. So I think that's one way that we will see, you know, whether or not there's new innovation in the market. The second way is, you know, are consumers actually using it, and to what extent or what is the level of adoption that they have? And obviously, you know, it's a journey. We're still at the very early stages of this journey, but I think looking at these customer outcomes or consumer outcomes will be one way that we will gauge the success of open banking.
Yeah, ultimately we have the benefit.
Yeah, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yes.
We've talked so many times on this show over the last 6 months or so about how COVID-19 has impacted on businesses, but is it something that has accelerated the move to open banking at all?
Yeah, so you know, our research has shown that in the past, where some technology and developments have taken years, you know, it's just a couple of months. It's been accelerated in just a couple of months. So we've seen a number of Singaporean banks actually using APIs and building partnerships with external parties in order to come up with new services for their customers. So, you know, one of the banks, DBS Bank, has partnered with a supplier to provide loans within their supplier platform, for instance, and that's all using APIs, and they were able to do it in, you know, a matter of days, if not weeks. So, you know, these types of value proposition where it probably could have taken banks months or even years to build, you're talking about just weeks. So that has definitely, you know, accelerated how these banks have, you know, launched services to their customers.
Yeah, and speaking of specific banks, I'm just recalling the fact that just last Friday, OCBC was named the best managed bank during the COVID-19 crisis mm-hmm. at the Asian Banker Leadership Achievement Awards. I guess increasingly, the banks that are switching to a more open platform, they're the ones that will start coming up in awards and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so, because it's a very different operating environment where the banks have to shift their mindset to think about, you know, it's not just my customer anymore. It's not that I have to own this customer, but it's about how do I build an ecosystem where all my partners benefit, and then, you know, we can scale that ecosystem, and partners will be part of this ecosystem to better serve my customers.
We've been speaking with Tsi-Ying Barry, Senior Analyst at Forrester. Tsi-Ying, thank you so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.